The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take the Stock. It is Wednesday. What is it? 16th, 2023. Yeah, it is. And of course, John has shaved his head. He's not wearing his beach shirt, and he's changed it to Martin. But he's got his flat.
Well, Goldman Sachs has got a new CEO, so if anyone's wondering where John's gone, we all know now, don't we?
They're obviously attracted by his smart casual beach shirt yesterday.
That's what he was. That's what it was.
I did make me laugh, though. Someone did say yesterday, John was having a go at Marks & Spencer's. Done very well, actually, trading up yesterday. He had a go at their clothes, and someone said, John, that's a Marks & Spencer shirt you're wearing. And so there we are. By all means, hit that subscribe button and feel free to chat anything else you want to talk about. Of course, CPI was out today, and I want to ask, I put a sort of survey out on Twitter, and I said, essentially, CPI came in as forecast, 6.8%, down from 7.9% last month. However, core inflation, and this strips out the price of energy, food, alcohol and tobacco. What else left is there? Energy, food, tobacco and alcohol. That's it, isn't it? That's what I live on, pretty much. But yeah, the core inflation, though, it remained at 6.9. And the Bank of England are looking at that. That's what they look at, apparently, to determine interest rates going forward. So I've said, essentially, what do you reckon? Should the Bank of England, should they, in your opinion, not what the forecasts are saying, should they raise interest rates? Because it is sort of nailed on. They'll go another quarter of a percentage point to 5.5%. And I'm just thinking now, you could see it's having an effect. You know, things are rolling over. Surely this should just stop back and pause for a second, because they went too fast into, you know, ratcheting up, doing QE and all that stuff. Maybe they should just pause and sit back a bit. What's your thoughts, Mark?
I think they were very, very slow in reacting to the interest rates. I think interest rates should have gone up a lot sooner than they did. And the Bank of England, they got a lot to answer for the current sort of climate. I think by not these interest rates, the inflation at the moment is down, a lot of it's down to the fact that energy prices are easier as well. So, you know, like you said, when you do strip out a lot of the core things, they're not getting any cheaper in the shops. I think, like you pointed out yesterday, I think you said milk was easier and things like that, but there's a lot of things that still need doing. So if they, you know, I'd rather see inflation go easier, personally. I think it's better for the country. They certainly, I'm torn at the moment. Obviously, you know, interest rates going any higher will, you know, there'll be a knock-on effect on the housing market and everything, but, you know, which is struggling as it is now. So what are your thoughts? Do you think we should go again, or do you think just keep...
I think they should pause. I keep thinking, you know, this, like I said, the effect, you know, economists have said the effect of interest rates, you know, take about 12 to 18 months to fully kick in. And, you know, the majority of these rate hikes have been in the last 12 months. And so they haven't really kicked in yet. So they are kicking in. We can see that. In fact, the PPI, which is the Purchase Price Index, which is the, you know, input of raw goods and finished goods, the things that go into the factory that, you know, play into inflation, that's contracted for the last 2 months. That says quite a lot to me. It's contracted minus 2.9, minus 3.3. That means prices are coming down. They're not just getting a little bit better, like with inflation. They're not coming down yet because they're still at 6.9%. But they are, PPI is contracting, so it is actually coming down. So I think just wait a bit rather than put more pain. But of course, they're looking at their wages figure. And our wages, if you look at that, the wages rising, I think it was 7.8% yesterday, the figures are out. That's now above inflation. So people are getting, you know, sort of real time wage inflation rises. So that's good. That's the bond yield. It's the 2 year bond, got my bond yield there. And I see it, that was the pretty much an all time high or recent high at 5.4, 5.5. It has come off a bit. It started a rally today, but then it came down a little bit. So it's not spiked up or spiked down. So maybe it's calming down a little bit. So who knows? But comment please below. Let me know, should they go again? Or should they not go again? Put a comment. If you've never commented before, comment right there. Should the Bank of England, and September's next meeting. And I was just, you know, looking around for sort of business news. I was listening to the radio. They're just obsessed with the Lionesses game in Australia. They're okay. It's quite important in the semi-finals. But let's be honest, it's not important. Inflation, is it? Surely. Maybe my priorities are wrong. I don't know.
To some people it is, you know. It's August, isn't it? So people are away on holiday, and people are sort of looking. There's not that much going on in the market. We're talking about macro things. Where we're here to talk about stocks and shares, aren't we? Really? What stocks and shares are we going to talk about today, Justin? Come on.
Well, in fact, do you know what?
Enough of the macro stuff.
No, but hang on. The macro leads everything. I don't think markets will rally. The markets will not rally. We got micro caps rallying. Yes, we got micro caps rallying. But the markets will not rally until the Bank of England, or we saw it in America, you know, the rally when the terminal rate, they started rallying a little bit, but they're still going to keep hiking. So until we sort of see a stop in that, then the market's not going to rally. By the way, just from comments from yesterday left over, we didn't catch up on, but Peter Lynch apparently defined the term diversification, which is a clever thing, rather than diversification. Having too many stocks will bring your performance down. And also, John says, Michael Berry is not just going short. He's gone long on shipping, oil and mining. That could be positive for small caps in those sectors. At some point, the S&P has to have a pullback. That's true. And Ben says, he sees, this is from yesterday's survey, he sees FTSE 250 and AIM by around 10% higher by the end of the year, but the US market's down. Yeah, the US markets have rallied. And in fact, let's have a look at AIM here, because if you look at AIM, it's not looking very good on the chart, because we are pretty much very near. If I just pull this in, this is the AIM All Share Index. Look at that. This is where we are here at 747. That was July lows. And if we go back, scroll out, I mean, look at that. Okay, apart from the DASPACAS COVID crash, where, you know, the governments of the world shut the economies down, technical recession. Apart from that, we're going back to 2016. That's where AIM is at the moment, AIM All Share. So
go back to 2008 and see where we were then, Justin.
Yeah, I still put on a weekly chart. I have to scroll back. It's 2008. 2008, we were at, the highs were at,
I'm talking about the low. So the banking crisis low, where do we get down?
12, and we got down to 390, 381. We're pretty much double that at the moment. So,
I think that was the day the camp thing went bust. I remember that day well.
Yeah. Okay, let's look some news then out. And let's go to the front page of Vox here, see what is trending here. And there we go. So, most followed, Bellascura, some good news out today. And I did like it. Paul covered them in his, it's worth looking at Paul's coverage on those. But he does liken them to the iPhone, which I thought, I don't know if it's their portable oxygen concentrator is going to be that widely used, but nevertheless, good
order. I would hope not, Justin. I'd hate to see the if everyone's got an iPhone walking around with a...
we are in trouble if this port's... But it's a cracking order. They've had pre-orders over 6,500. This is next generation portable oxygen concentrator. That's about $15 million. So it's not even released yet. So it's pre-orders of that, which is very good. And it is one of the big rallies there, actually. Up, it came down a bit, but that's a Bellascura. That nice rally. But as you can see, it spiked up. And I put a sort of chart in there of the range. It broke out of the range today nicely. But it shot up to what? 48 pence, back down to 41 pence. But nevertheless, it's above that, which is good level. I mean, it's been coming down. That's a very big downtrend from the start there. Obviously, it launched before the bull market, came back down. So it's been very painful for holders, but this could be the end of the downtrend, by the looks of it.
That just made me think, actually. The headlines again, what was it? Sorry, Justin, they've got 15 million in pre-orders for
six and a half thousand pre-orders for the next generation, which is worth
the next generation cost them what, just over $2,200 per unit. That sounds expensive. I thought the whole point of these. It sounds like a lot of money to me, or am I missing something there?
Apparently they're 50% lighter than the things, but I don't know much.
I suppose if it's saving your life, to a couple of grand isn't the end of the world.
No, if I'm lying on my deathbed, you know, just somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and someone said, "Do you want one of these plugged into you?" Well, I said, "No, I'm okay. How much are they? $2,000? No, I'll die. Thanks."
That's because you're tight arse. So.
I know, yeah. So that's most followed. Atlantic Lithium as well came on the podcast yesterday. Neil talked about saying you're making excellent progress because the share price sold off over Ghana's new green minerals policy, which they're quite vague about. But he said we've had chats with the government there and it's progressing very well. But also they've got an extra revenue stream in Feldspar, which they're doing a feasibility study on. This Clogai, there we are, Welsh Gold. That's what, down 10%. They've had a few problems with rain, basically, which, you know, if you're in Wales, you expect that, can't you?
Yeah, you should.
I know. But because they're dewatering this mine. And of course, they've had, I think, four times as much rain as they normally have. So it's hampered that progress a little bit. But never to carry on. Let's look at the chart of Alba. But yeah, but you're supposed to deal with that if you're in Wales. Yeah, it's not a good one. It's rallied up for two.
As Welsh, but we can contest the fact it rains there a lot.
I know, it does. Do you know what? The amount of times, right, that I've driven from where I live now over the Severn Bridge, and the weather's been nice up until the Severn Bridge. And I thought, part of me thinks, what's going on here? And I think it's some kind of political conspiracy in some way. But you drive over the Severn Bridge, and it starts raining. I thought, what the hell is all that? But I think it's to do with, you know, atmospherics and hills and all that stuff. But
I was in Barragoid yesterday around lunchtime, and it was like boiling hot. The sun was out, sunglasses on. I jumped in a car. By the time I got to Newport, which isn't that far from Barragoid, it's literally 10 miles down the road, it was torrential rain, and my windscreen wipers are on flat out again. You know, the traffic was down to sort of 30 miles an hour. And
I know, so that's Alba Minerals there. What else has everyone else read? Turn interim results, big dividend here. One Disco. Now, this is a massive fall off the charts, and it was a good technical trading opportunity, I think, One Disco.
I am a holder, so I'm obviously one of the fanboys, but yeah.
Have you got? Wait, when did you get into these then? You got in recently?
I got back in early after they'd done the placing recently.
Okay.
I purely got in on the back of the people who've backed it.
Yeah, who's that?
Some of the names have gone in. They're supported. They've got a good track record of making money. So,
So they've got a deal here. The first phase of this relationship with GM is worth $400,000. Not huge.
No,
but it's money coming in. But that chart there. That's. Because it's fallen from a big height, like 13 quid down to like 41 pence, then it rallied up to sort of 126. That's a big rally, isn't it? You can't see it, there's no show it there. That is a heck of a rally. If you'd bought straight away off the back of them, they're relisting, then you're into profit there. But where are we at the moment?
I think you can forget what's happened previously, and you've got to look at this now as almost like a brand new company. It's been refinanced. And everything else, it's still got the same opportunities. Will it get back to 13 quid? I doubt it. I doubt very much I'll be still holding it if they do.
It's a trading op. Winners and losers here. Oh, man, let's go to some content. Creo Medical achieves breakthrough success at Royal Oldham Hospital. And I did read their if we go and read their thing, and we did sort of have a laugh at this earlier, but and they say that the company is focused on the emerging field of minimally invasive surgery endoscopy, and they said that the Royal Oldham now has been the first NHS hospital to immediately implement the Chroma and Speedboat inject across multiple endoscopy rooms. Now, I thought, how can you be minimally invasive, right? And I did look at their website, and this is the kit they use. That doesn't look very good. Putting that there.
That's all depends where you're putting that.
I know. That's going to go in one of your orifices. Take your pick. I don't know if it's minimally invasive, but it's a little bit scary there. But nevertheless, it's rising. It's on the chart here. And that's a good-looking chart because it's come down. Look at that downtrend there. So, essentially, if you always use that 200-day moving average of the bull bear line, It broke down there, 190 a share. And now it's literally at what? 34 pence. But again, it's broken above it now.
So yeah, it's using it as a support line now, isn't it?
Yeah, so that looks quite good there. I mean, if you can break above this sort of, that previous highs level here, that's good to go. So support there pretty much at 31, 37 is resistance. That's looking quite good. So Creo, put it on your watch list there. Anything else on the front page there, Vox? I mean, John's away. So Greenrock, Oh, John has been doing some work. Look, there we are. Prospector, you got just if I think interim results there. So because it's maybe financial, it's not a lot going on. Eden is a company that sort of listed a while back, and they rose like crazy. And I think this was on the podcast. They did a fundraise then, but literally, I don't know where this came from. They went from 3.7 pence up to 12 pence. And now they're back down, but with cash. They've got some cash now. They raised some money there, but I think about 7.8 million. But they've just sold, first order of Ecolex. So I said, basically, it's new sustainable seed treatment that helps farmers safely repel birds. And I was thinking, well, that's a scarecrow, isn't it, essentially? But I do like this. I mean, this kind of area where you get more yield for farmers, in a very environmentally friendly way, it's very agri-tech. It's a hot area. And so I think it's a company worth looking at and worth putting in your watch list. And like I said, sometimes when you get that hype cycle there, rise, that, can happen again. It does happen again. And so you just got to sit and wait. But, very interesting. Heck of a ride there. If you've got what's gutting is, if you'd held up there and just held on, thinking it's going to get bigger, because of course no one sells at the top because we think it's going higher, and no one buys at the bottom because it's going lower. So that was 12 pence back down to 6 pence, 50% drop there. But it'd be interesting to see if it stays around this level now, because I'd say that looks like a bit of support there. Previous highs up around near 5-6 pence. So do some research on that. But they've got some cash. They've raised some money there. Anything else there on the front page? What's most followed there? Yeah, we said that. Bell, Al, CTL, Owen Bird. Okay. One of the biggest fallers here is Turn Investment Companies. Well, I'm not a fan of investment companies, are you?
I mean, I always, whenever I'm looking to invest, I always think, well, I can do that myself.
Yeah.
There's some very, very good investment companies out there, people who manage them. Berkshire Hathaway, for example. it feels like there's some very good. For me personally, it's not. But I mean, I wouldn't put some people off these investment companies. A lot of them are very, very good at what they do, and they have preferential. Despite what the regulators would like to say, there's a lot of these companies and these funds do get preferential treatment from brokers and the big guys when it comes to IPOs and things like that. So they do get in early doors and they get preferential prices and stuff. So, they've got the sort of ear to the ground kind of thing.
I mean, most investment companies take a massive hammer. We did cover some yesterday, TMT, Molten Ventures and IP Group. Because, of course, in this market, it's hard to raise money. And most of the companies they invest in are startups. And so they're struggling as well. And so when you see net asset value,
they're all trade at a discount to NAV anyway.
Exactly.
That's something you've got to, and that's actually a really good indicator of the performance, because very often, it's a good indicator when you see a company is paying a big sort of dividend. If you see a blue chip that's paying a really, really big dividend, it's normally an indicator that something's wrong. And if one of these investment companies is trading at a massive discount to NAV, it's not necessarily a good thing. It does not mean they're cheap at all. It could be that they're not performing very well.
Yeah, well, when you think of it, when they look at their portfolio of companies they invested at, the previous valuation level was when they last raised money, which was probably, over a year ago, 2 years ago, whenever, when the market is a lot higher and raising money is a lot easier to do. Now, if they have to raise money for these companies, if they can get a fundraiser away, at what level will we done at? So that's, that's why a lot of NAVs are like, oh, we're way below our NAV. Yeah, but when was that NAV calculated? In what market environment was it calculated?
I think a lot of them just have to go mark to market on a daily basis, don't they? A lot of funds do. It all depends on the fund itself. A lot of the, like Barclays, for example, they'll do this on a daily basis. A lot of their investment funds, that's why they have, if you go onto Barclays RNSs, they're pushing them out all day long with NAVs.
Yeah.
It all depends on which fund it is. If it's an active fund.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, if the company itself, they'll say a discount to NAV, but I said that NAV is based on the valuations of those companies underlying. Most of them not listed, and last time they were valued, when? Because, and how do you value them now when you can't raise money for them? You know, so that's where Neil Woodford came unstuck, wasn't it? You know, a lot of those early startup companies were like, the valuations were questioned there, and it took a massive hit. You know. Mm-hmm. There we are. Upland, anything worth looking at? Let's have a look look at Creo. One of the biggest rises there. Just looking at the bigger, it's Admiral Group, and they've come out with some sort of decent numbers.
Their numbers are up 21%. 2.24 billion they announced this morning. As well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think insurance, the cost of car insurance has gone through the roof in the last couple of years. So I'm not surprised to see the numbers up sort of 21%, you know. Is that just because the premiums have gone up, or is it because they've gotten, you know, more clients? I think it's because the premiums have gone up, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's crazy now how much they're charging.
Yeah, they did say, Admiral, 9.4 million customers gone up by 4%. Turnover's up 20%, which could be higher premiums. And pre-tax profits up by 4% at 234 million. But if you look at the chart there, it's quite interesting because this has happened with a lot of big companies who are like decent companies have rallied, but they're in a range. You know, it's like this here, it goes between what, £19 and £24 pretty much. And a company I've been looking at is obviously Hargreaves Lansdown, which is one of the leaders in sort of investments and all that stuff. But they've been jumping up and down for ages. Look where they come down from. They come down from literally 23 quid a share down to 7 quid a share, pay an excellent dividend, but they can't get above that. You know, they struggle to get above that sort of 9, 10 quid level.
Are down at the moment massively in the market.
Yeah,
but yeah, I like Hargreaves Lansdown. That's something I don't hold them at the moment, but I would certainly look to hold them. But I mean, you look at going back to Admiral's numbers. I saw Aviva this morning. They've also said that the group's medium term, you know, they've exceeded the group's medium term targets and things. So I think that's a sector that's quite interesting going on there at the moment.
Yeah. So again, look at those. It's a downtrend of Aviva. Can't try and break the previous highs there, but. I know you're a fan of a macro. This is what I like. In fact, the next story, but UK high prices rise by the least since 2020. That's no surprise there. Private rents are up. But this is what I like. This won't help inflation. See, the Bank of Ireland has a glitch to the ATM. And apparently people who didn't have any money were able to withdraw loads of money. And that is the absolute dream, is a scenario where they were able to access as much as 1,000 euros. But the banking system, the daily withdrawal limit is 500, according to the Independent. But technical blunder. How does that happen with banks? It's literally they are giving money out. Those people, that'll help the economy. It won't help inflation, though. But it's a dream scenario, that, isn't it? Just go there and, money's coming out. It's not coming out of your account. Just stand there all day. Lovely. I'd love that. What do you do with that money? If you had that, you've got to invest it back in the market and it's free money. So, no, I've invested now, it's done.
I think there's a film, wasn't there a couple in New Zealand, I think, accidentally had sort of millions of dollars transferred into their bank account by accident. So they transferred it out and went on the run. I think Netflix has got a film or somebody's got a film. But comment below because I want to watch that film if anyone knows what the film is called. But I saw an advert recently on, I think it was on Netflix, for the film where this couple from New Zealand went on the run, basically. I think they were on the run for 2 or 3 years just living up.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Back in like 2007, this sort of happened to me. I just opened up my sort of, I think it was my ISA account, Stocks and Shares ISA. I didn't have any money. I had any money in it. And literally, I looked at the balance one day, it had 480,000 in it. I thought, what? And I literally was checking it every 2 minutes. And I only put like, I think it's 15 grand in it or something like that. And it had 480 grand in it. I was checking every, and then literally, even at the end of the day, I couldn't withdraw anything. So it was like clearing or something. And even at the end of the day, it held it. Next day, went back to my balance. But you can't do anything with it. All you can do is reinvest and try and make some money off it. Said, no, that profit I made off it was mine. So, literally, I was checking it every few minutes. And look at gold. I don't know what it was gold. So it's rallied. and it's coming off, you know? And it's odd because gold miners haven't really rallied strongly, and now gold is coming off. You know?
Well, so, Hummingbird are one of the big, most followed companies today. That's an interesting company as well, Hummingbird, aren't they? Yeah. I think they're up 10% when I looked earlier.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a nightmare the last few days, but we see, you know, the bottom came in here at around about, you know, 5 pence, 7 pence, and just rallied strongly. That what almost tripled in price, 4 times in price. But it's come back off a little bit now. But maybe again, the 200-day moving average there, right back to that, and it's made rally off that. But there we are. Marvelous. That's it for today. I think lots of people watch the Lionesses game, Mark, because I was underestimated how interesting that was for people. But there we are. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button, and by all means, you can comment after the video is live. So please do that, and we'll catch up on those comments tomorrow. Until then, speak tomorrow. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Guys. Bye bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.